Can you guys hear me if I don't stand near the microphone? Because I get nervous around microphones. Okay, yes, thank you for being here. Along with my role as a professor and researcher and educator, I am also a certified childbirth educator and a certified doula. So some of what I'm going to present is informed by those roles as well. I work fairly closely with a variety of women, pregnant couples and postpartum couples through my role as childbirth educator and as a doula as well. So just to kind of keep that in mind as far as some of my biases, some of my work is informed anecdotally as well, not just through my research or through my readings of the literature as well. So there's actually a large body of literature looking at sexuality during pregnancy. It's not a topic people necessarily consider super important. I'm trying to change that. And a lot of this literature it really varies as far as the stories that they tell. If we look at the older literature, they tend to point towards sex during pregnancy as being, you know, problematic, saying that couples are not having sex, it affects their relationships, they're not interested, and many of them are afraid of what would happen if they had sex during pregnancy. Some of those attitudes are still present today, but what we see is that a lot of these stories that are present in the literature are of women who are heterosexual, white, married, and usually fairly well educated, and what's missing is documentation of the sexual behaviors beyond penile-vaginal intercourse. What else is missing is that within this demographic, we don't really hear about non-heterosexual women who are also engaging in partnered and solo sexual activity. So today what I'm going to be presenting on is the sexual behaviors of two samples of women. So I've got one sample of women who have sex with men, so they're currently partnered with men, and another sample of women who have sex with women and are currently partnered with women. Through sort of what I've done. I have 162 women in my first study and 128 in my second. And both of these samples were obtained from larger studies. The first one with women who are currently partnered with women, this was not a study that was focused specifically on pregnancy, whereas the second one was. So I had to filter through that data a bit to have them match as closely to my second data. So just know I'll go over the limitations at the end, that this isn't a perfect study and a perfectly matched samples. I assessed all through their sociodemographic and relationship characteristics. We collected data on their last menstrual period, past month sexual behaviors, past month sex toy use, and as well as their pregnancy status. For the second sample, we just have a lot more detailed information about all of these things than we do with the first sample. Okay, as far as the sexual behaviors that we were interested in across both samples, we looked at genital rubbing, vaginal fingering, inserting 1 to 3 fingers into the vagina, vaginal fisting, inserting 4 or more fingers, which could be a fist, could not be. There was a lot of debate about how we were going to define this, but cunnilingus, so their partner or they themselves performed oral sex on a woman or an individual performed oral sex on them. Masturbation, mutual masturbation, genital scissoring, vaginal intercourse, as well as fellatio. I put my mouth or tongue on my partner's penis. Among my two samples, we see similarities and differences. So the reason I'm sticking with this women who have sex with women labeling is because not all of my women were lesbian identified. There were women who identified as queer, as bisexual. The majority of them were lesbian identified, but just to kind of see them more holistically, I am going to be using the WSW label. With both samples, we see the majority of them in monogamous relationships, and the majority of them in their first trimester. That was purposeful with the second sample and not with the first. It was just coincidence that I was able to match them that way. With the first sample, we don't have the exact gestational week. All I have is a range of their last menstrual period. Whereas with my second sample, I know exactly how pregnant they were. They happen to be around the same range, though. My first sample is a little bit younger, and with both, we do still see predominantly white, college-educated women. All right, so as far as the data, this is the bulk of what I want to present. present today in one nice chart. So I went into this thinking and hypothesizing, assuming, whatever you want to call it, that my WSW group would be far more sexually active than my other group, and I didn't find that. So aside from solo masturbation and vibrator use, which I'll get back to, we see fairly equal rates among the different sexual behaviors that I have here on the chart. So with genital rubbing, vaginal fingering, and either receptive cunnilingus or performing oral sex, so either fellatio or cunnilingus, depending on their partner, we see fairly equal rates. And we even see within oral sex, at least with receiving cunnilingus, my women who are partnered with men having a slightly higher frequency. But amongst all of these, there were not statistical differences in these, just FYI. Where we see the difference is masturbation, okay? So we see my women who are partnered with women masturbating quite a bit more. And usually with masturbation, you see that as the most frequent sexual behavior across many groups of women. So the fact that there is an over 80% versus close to 30% for the other group is interesting. And I'm going to put you over here to vibrator use as well, where we see the women who have sex with women having used a vibrator in the past month over 90% of the time, compared to women who have sex with men with about 35% of the time. What I find particularly interesting about this is that both groups reported vibrator use over the past past year. So you see almost all of them are vibrator users. Almost all of them are solo masturbators. But there's something going on with the women who are partnered with men where you see a pretty dramatic decrease in that compared to the women who are having sex with women. You see sex toys being used both internally and externally. I only put vibrator use on that chart because it was used of the other toys, especially dildos, butt plugs, things like that, that I got information on, was pretty rare. The women who have sex with women were using double-sided dildos, things of that nature, but even that was fairly rare. Vibrators were much more common. And you see solo toy use much more commonly than you do partnered as well, although partnered toy use was present. As I mentioned, these are toy users, as well as women who are showing fairly high frequencies of solo masturbation. So once again, they're newly pregnant, they're in their first trimester, and they're still engaging in these partnered behaviors, but there's something different happening as far as these solo behaviors. And so a lot of what I've been trying to think about is these women are reporting a wide range of sexual behaviors. Sexuality is not halting for this group, despite the literature kind of painting this picture, that once you're pregnant, your sexuality tends to cease, right? That's not the case in the newer literature. The other thing I've really been thinking about is the messaging that women get about sexuality during pregnancy. Part of the reason we get a diverse set of messages is because we don't have an official stance, actually, from ACOG, from the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists, about the safety or the risk of sex during pregnancy. And we definitely don't have that when it comes to sex toy use. Part of that is because we can't do an experimental design, right? We can't have half our sample go have all the sex they want, see what happens to them, and half not, and be able to say, okay, yeah, you know, this is actually safe or not. What we've been doing is trying to show that there isn't any evidence that there is a risk, right? So although the literature does point in that direction for sexual activity, it's very much focused on sexual intercourse, penile vaginal intercourse, because that's what the literature has examined. So it is important for us to think about all the other behaviors that we engage in, okay? Most of us have experiences with other than just penile vaginal intercourse. And if you have women who are partnered with women, they're not having penile-vaginal intercourse, so we need to understand what are they doing and are there risks associated with that. And is it just the penetration or is it having an orgasm? There's all these details that are still missing. So because of that, obstetricians, gynecologists, midwives tend to hesitate to give the green light to their patients. When they have a woman who's there, who's pregnant, who's excited to be pregnant, to be able to tell her, yes, you can do this, is very difficult. And so you get a lot of different messages to different women. And it's possible that our women who are partnered with other women, whether they're out or not, might be getting different messages, or they might be internalizing those messages differently. So we know that WSW are more likely to use sex toys in general, right? So it's possible that they're not asking their providers about sex toys because they feel comfortable and they feel like they can continue to be comfortable with that. Whereas women who are partnered with men maybe are internalizing that message differently. But these are all things that we really need to look at more carefully so that we can have this unified message. It's really important that we, once again, include a more diverse range of women in these studies to make the effort to do that. It's not always easy. My study's not perfect. These studies are not perfect. But we do need to make that effort. We need to stop sending this message out that once you become pregnant or have a child, that your sexuality ceases to exist. Because it's just not what the literature is showing. It's not what I see anecdotally. And there's a lot of stress and anxiety when they do have sex because they feel like they feel guilty about it because they're putting their child at risk or their pregnancy at risk or later on down the road are having other issues related, relationship issues related with it. There are possible positive impacts of maintaining aspects of our sexual lives, of our normal lives into pregnancy, and we should examine that more. I mentioned that already. Okay. We need more information about attitudes about sex toy use, sex during pregnancy, not just from the women, but also their partners, and also the providers themselves. Looking at how sexual and relationship dynamics are changed during this time, and how these frequencies of sexual behaviors might change over time as well. So my second sample I have longitudinally, and I do see a lot of fluctuations in sexual behaviors throughout pregnancy. We don't know this about women who have sex with women. Do those higher numbers of vibrator use continue through pregnancy? We need to look at that. If we want to work towards a statement about the safety of sex toy use, that population might be a good one to work with since they seem more open to using sex toys than women who have sex with men. As far as limitations, as I mentioned, my sample is still fairly homogenous in terms of race and within their trimester. With my women who have sex with women, I didn't have an exact last menstrual period, and that's important to think about. Considering this past month behavior, some of them might not have known that they were pregnant when they were engaging in these behaviors since they were so early in the pregnancy, so that's something to think about. Limited pregnancy information in general. There's other stuff I could talk to you guys about as well, but this was just a start. This wasn't supposed to be a huge, first study look at this. This was to make the case that we need to actually do a study that purposefully looks into this population and these behaviors. And we'll do questions at the end. I think my time is up, right? Yeah. Okay. Thank you.